Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
If you have questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Wow. Live from the Poos!
Sunny upstate New York. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Perillo.
I know, we're all here tonight. Know, we can't play each other now.
I know, I'm normally Dr. David DeProspero.
But that's me. Hi, everybody.
I'm Peter Leonard.
Larry the Carbomb.
Oh, I'm Larry.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And our two special guests tonight.
I am Tristan Cooper.
And Bill DiPaolo.
Owner of
the Pecos!
The greatest Mexican cuisine in the city of Rome. True story. We're sorry that the guy came here that one time. It was just so Tristan's here from the Interplanetary Society of America to talk about time travel tonight. No. We have a full house. Anybody wants to call in? You know the gig. Call in. Because we don't really have anything. Rich might have a few things on Bigfoot. I know you were talking about Bigfoot carcasses. And
good Lord, it's been like months since I've been on this show.
By choice.
We're happy you're here.
Yeah, just been busy, life in general. You know the drill.
I'm sure Larry's got a few things over here.
I got nothing.
He's texting his girlfriend.
I'm not. I don't even have
that. That's paranormal in itself. Hey!
He does not have a girlfriend. Larry is available.
He's single,
yes.
Lady.
So I'm looking for a deaf-blind woman.
She's all that and
who likes Batman.
Bag of chips.
She wouldn't know what Batman looks like.
I'm sure she does. You just let her run her fingers around your belt buckle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a kid's show.
I already had that planned.
You guys watch comic book, man?
No.
I am a comic book.
Okay, what else do you want to talk about then?
Well, last week, Tristan encouraged me to send a letter to my congressman about funding for
White Castle.
NASA. Oh, I love White Castle.
So the 2016 NASA budget proposal is drafted. It's going to Congress shortly if it's not already there. And in the budget proposal are two very important things. One is funding to search for near-Earth objects, NEOs, which are things like asteroids, comets.
The Black Knight satellite.
Yeah, things we can't see until they're on top of us and crashing into us.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, something along those lines. And the other thing is a planned mission to Jupiter's moon Europa, which is a big ball of water and water ice, and it may potentially harbor life, and it's very important for the future of mankind.
Oceanfront property is cheap there.
It is.
Wait until they open the first Walmart.
Yes. Yeah. It's probably some time away, but those will be interesting things.
So encourage your Congress people to vote. Because let's face it, we screwed up enough down here. It's time to go screw space up a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot more of space in space to screw up.
We're American. We can screw most of it up. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt.
Universe. We're all little people.
No, we haven't been playing the background music here, Bill. Okay, Mike. Jump! Oh, to the caller from last week, we're actually working on getting a vampire person on as a guest.
Like a vampire or a person who knows about vampires?
Either or.
Count Dracula will be on next week's episode.
So we stopped playing background music because we captured an EVP on one of the shows. We actually heard it on the show. We picked it up on our microphone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
yes.
Right. Oh, yes.
We were going to play it for you if you'd like to hear it. If you don't want us to play it, we don't have to.
I'd like to
that's entirely up to you.
I wasn't me yelling in another room on the phone.
Since you are Bill Apollo.
I don't know.
Apollo! Mexican cuisine!
No, you weren't here.
Just kidding.
You weren't here at all.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
They definitely got a couple.
You never heard it either, have you, Rich?
A couple things I may have mentioned to a few of you and some others I haven't. Just strange stuff that happens here.
So here's our clip.
Yeah,
we've located. This is a short clip.
Walking through walls and things like that, and someone just. What was that? Did you hear that? We kind of
a radio show from a very strange place. Yeah, I heard that too.
This is the first time we hit paranormal.
Is it in the recording is what I'm wondering? Is there a spot?
Because there's background noise on this.
Walking.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
What did you hear?
I heard like a wow, like a...
There's two in there. There's two.
I heard one clearly.
First, you're going to hear a lady, we think.
Okay.
That's like a screaming, and what was it, like a...
Yeah,
I heard
at
that.
The beginning.
Like a laugh.
Yeah.
And then there's a gentleman talking after we keep telling Steve to shut up.
Okay.
Through walls and things like that, and someone just...
That was a lady.
Did you hear that? What was that? Did you hear that? Someone just...
Show from a very strange place.
Now we shot them.
Yeah, I heard that too.
This is the first time we hit paranormal.
Was it? Is it in the recording? Is what I'm wondering. Is there a space?
Because there's.
Now we shot the music. Now here is that word, isolated.
It sounds like a machine.
Here it is, amplified a little bit. We're thinking, why?
One of those, I'm pretty certain that we didn't need this to hear. We looked like we heard it from out that way.
Right. I don't know if, for those of you who didn't hear me, I know I had told Pete the one day, about a couple weeks ago, we were here a little later, and Steve, Big Steve here, who works for me, we were putting the fault plugs into the ladies' room over here. So I was upstairs and I had to yell and keep all the doors open because the breaker for it is downstairs. And I was the only one up here, and I had the door open, and I have to kind of do this visually, so I'm going to kind of fake somebody's here. So I'm holding the door open, and as if somebody clearly just came right up next to me, and I felt like somebody was in my ear, I just heard him say, "Get out." As clear as that, enough for me to literally turn as if somebody's there. Didn't startle me because my response was, "I have too much money tied up here." So for me to Steve goes, "There's a light." I wasn't even paying attention. Like I had literally stopped what I was doing to look back. But the number one thing that I hear all the time, especially at night if I'm doing paperwork, I always hear walking all the time. Now, if somebody comes in the front door, actually I can see them, hear the door clearly. If someone comes in the back door, when they go to unlock the airlock of the steel doors, you hear that click, click, so you know. But I don't have, it doesn't happen. All you just hear is just normal shuffling of feet, and I'll look all the time. It's usually in this corridor that comes kind of to where we do the show here,
mm-hmm.
And around, kind of going to where the men's room would be, into the
bar.
Actually, Bill, we get that. We hear that a lot here, too. And like you said, it's not footsteps, but it's that shuffling.
Exactly. It's not like
a foot scuffing.
Exactly, like a scuffing of shoes. So, I mean, and it's enough to see it. The weird thing is, and I forgot to tell you this before we started, we had a party here over the weekend. That was the last one to close. There's little scuff marks on the floor I want you to look at later. It looks like somebody shuffles their feet up this hallway and into the men's room.
Really?
I don't know why, but it's there. It's kind of cool to check out. I almost wanted to do that powder test thing,
yeah.
Just to see if that would really work.
But it went for vacuum and
office. Yes, exactly. Yes. The only other thing is usually like that little corridor behind the bar in the kitchen there, that's a place when I'm here at night, boy, it's a creepy little walkway. That's one where you feel like that pressure, like somebody's right on your back.
Right across from the bathroom there?
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I think someone had mentioned that you guys had did something one night and you thought you caught an image or something.
No, scared the shit out of me. I was going around the inside and I didn't know he was on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the door starts opening and I'm in ghost mode. So I'm like, is this seriously happening right now? In my head, I'm thinking that.
Right. Steve scared him. Steve came up from the basement.
Yeah.
And we heard him, because that same night we had heard footsteps, so we were kind of following them around. And then you must have heard him come up the stairs and walk through the kitchen.
Yeah.
And he's like, got your footsteps. And he runs off. And then you hear him.
You know, just from my end of research, you know, before the Moose Club was here, there was especially in this part of the building, there was a townhouse, like an apartment. I don't know if what was back there. I think there was like a market or something. But they never put a basement here. So it's actually built on the foundations of the
apartment building?
Yeah, of the building.
So it's the original that they put in when they put whatever was
Yeah, there. They just like filled it in, random pipes. I don't know. And then the only other thing is, you know, we're right in the middle of the DOA, the carrying place. So during, you know, this is probably where Pete, I don't know who was camped on this side, but.
Well, you said the river flowed right out here too, right?
Well, the Erie Canal.
The canal did, yeah, that's right.
So there was
yeah.
probably some type of warehousing or something
exactly.
in the back part.
Yeah, so.
But there's also a fort right down the way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this would have been an encampment area.
Actually, you might not know this, but the portal of time travel actually was in front of Phillipson's here. The old Phillipson's building. This was told to us by a gentleman who attended one of our presentations. It's on the side near the door. He went through it several times.
I do believe that at 8:30 in the morning when I drive by there.
We won't use any names, but we were closing up a presentation. And this gentleman just comes in dressed like Doctor Who with the scarf on, the trench coat, and he's like, "Stop!" And we're like, "What the?" Then he started telling us about the falcon that follows him and the snake and all these other animals.
I'm pretty sure the falcon turned into the snake.
Is that what it was?
I think there was like three animals, but it was one kept turning into the other one.
So. And he's actually died three times, but they've brought him back, and this portal is at Phillipson's. So we're like, thank you everyone for coming. You stay here. We're talking to you.
The rest of you is good.
So here's the story for everybody out there. So we bring him to Denny's because that's the closest thing, and that's our stomping grounds. He pulls out this bag of crushed tea leaves.
Elderberry tea.
He throws it on the table and gives it to David. And I'll never forget it. The waiter in Denny's comes walking over to our table. He's like, "He's like, you gotta put that away." He's like, "I don't care what you do." He's like, "But there's cops over there." It's me. Yeah, that's it. But he claimed to travel through time. He actually saved himself 90 or 20 times. I don't know, 900 times, whatever. He invented a liquid that is a superconductive liquid that aids in space travel. What is it? It like rotates three circles clockwise, then counterclockwise, and then he like stands there, a microwave passes out and travels through time. But
it's
we shouldn't make fun of people again.
So amidst the jokes, most of what he's saying is true. Like this guy brought us probably a stack of papers, no joke, like 1,000 pages, and they were all stapled together. And he said, "Now this one shows you, it's a declassified document from my time in the military, that I have this it wasn't conductive, it was frictionless. It was a frictionless liquid. He said, now this is what I developed, and he gave us this briefing, and then 2 minutes later he gave us this thing, and he said, now this shows how it was used on the space mission to help this, and it was given to this, and they said, now this one should... Hours we were there with this guy, and he just kept bringing in, like, elderberries, and he's an elderberry farmer, like, legitimate, he's an elderberry farmer, and he uses elderberries for this, and then for that, and then he showed us this whole American Medical Association stack of papers for, you know, it just went on and on and on and on, and we were just sitting there, like, dumbfounded, like, what?
Seriously, don't ever eat margarine.
It's one molecule away from plastic. It's one of the number one most cancer-causing agents, according to the American Medical Association.
It was invented to fatten up turkeys.
Really?
Margarine!
Hmm. Superfluid.
Yeah.
That's what that frictionless... That's a real material. Generally, it's helium. And it's used in MRI machines and particle accelerators.
But this is the weird thing about this. He said he's got a jar of it in his attic. And when he puts it onto a plate, as if you're flushing the toilet, the entire mass rotates 3 times to the left, then it goes twice to the right, 3 times to the left, and then it'll just keep shifting its motion. I mean, this is where it gets weird.
Because superfluid helium is at like 2 Kelvin, and it would evaporate.
Right, you can't keep it in a jar in your attic, but yeah, this guy...
We're pretty sure it's unimpentium.
Unimpentium?
What was it, UPP 113, 213, something like
that? That's 115.
115?
Yeah, that's...
But it can't stay stable long enough to...
No, it's an unstable isotope.
I think it's unobtainium.
The things we talk about on Paranormal.
Which is real.
Mysterium.
It's right there with unobtainium.
Yeah, so...
And we name sooner or later. That just means 115.
But no documents from the future.
Yeah, that's funny.
The future doesn't use paper.
Yes, that's good.
Leave it to Mike.
No, but he explained how the portal worked, how it was a cave, and he would go into the mouth of the cave and down into the darkness, and as soon as he got to the point where he could no longer see, he would turn around to try and go back, but the light in the opening was gone. And then he would turn around to the darkness again, and there was a pin of light suddenly, you know, it like switched. So he would go toward the pin of light to get out, and that was his exit point in the future.
Must have some interesting fun guy growing up.
Why can't a few of us go to this spot that he says?
Because I think he can only get to it once he has died, and he's died several times. So it's...
I don't want to be accused of killing Kennedy.
So basically... We're listening to him saying that when he died, his brain's doing all sorts of things, and he's gonna say that's whatever he interprets it as.
Yep.
But it took place out here 3 times at least.
Is he struck by lightning?
No.
76 times. No. Great outdoors.
That was good.
So, Tristan, do ghosts exist on the moon of Jupiter?
There's no people there to die.
There's water, there's people. It goes hand in hand. Wherever there's water, there's people.
I mean, ignoring the debate of whether or not ghosts exist, period, I would say probably not, just because it's... I mean, if there's life, it's probably not life as we know it. It's probably bacterial.
They all say that.
If you're a ghost, would you go to a frozen ball of ice, or would you go to... Venus is nice and tropical.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, I don't know that would be one of my destinations.
I'm going to go to Venus. That would be...
I'm going to go to a big ball of ice, or, I mean, someplace...
Yeah, but you could see the rings.
Scarlett Johansson's house.
Where I'd be crushing.
Uranus is right around the corner.
great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
During the show here, I've been monitoring the email coming to our website, and just got a very interesting email. I won't mention the gentleman's name or what he does, but the gist of the email is that essentially he's in the same line of work as we are, except instead of investigation, he's into elimination.
Oh.
He's got a shotgun loaded with rock salt.
I want one of those. Okay, anyways, this is what the gentleman's saying. He says, I'm also involved with this kind of work as well on occasion, except what I do is more in line of elimination rather than investigation. I do a lot of other kinds of work, but occasionally I'll get a call for something nasty to take out. It's very rare, but occasionally. Generally, I offer protection from anyone or anything. Okay, so this is where it's going.
Is this John Gadsden?
Yeah. So, I'm just sending you this note to let you know that if you run across a situation that is beyond your capabilities of removing, whatever it is that needs removing, I can be of help, whether it is the demonic or just a grumpy spirit of the dead. I've been doing this kind of work for over 40 years. That's a long time.
Is that John Zaffis pumpkin?
Everything I do is done remotely, so no commute time. Almost all my clients are out of state. I can have a location cleared within an hour. There's always the exception, but this is how it usually works out. Then I'll warranty my work for 30 days. That's pretty good. I didn't get that from my contractors. Because sometimes these things like to seek back in the stubborn medium level and above. Demons are usually that way. So I monitor the area for 30 days just to be sure. So,
is he charging people for this?
That's not discussed there. He has a website. I won't go into detail into that. I'll take a look at it afterwards. But essentially, it sounds to me like it is a service. I'm sure he charges something to eliminate whatever's there.
Whether it be warranted,
right? And then he
like
warranties it. But he does it all remotely.
That's where I'm stuck.
There's no coming to the house. There's no staging. There's no priest. It's all pretty much, maybe you turn on your iPad and he FaceTimes. And
okay, carry me to the bedroom.
Well, I mean, I'm working aside. I mean, essentially,
to the den!
or is he a psychic? I mean, is it conducted psychically?
Well, if I told you what the website was, and I'll tell you afterward, then you'd be like, I won't mention it on the air just yet.
All right.
Now, I do know that some psychics can be remotely. When John Zaffis went to the Hulbert House, as we left the Hulbert House, he called the psychic, put her on speakerphone, and was talking to her. And she gave some vivid details about the fireplace that was in that room, and there was a bucket there, and then they actually knocked a wall down to find that fireplace. Mm-hmm. Which Eileen told us, but she picked up on all that stuff. And that's about the time that Zaffis hung up the phone and said, go back to your coloring witch. I do know that they can do things remotely, but I didn't know they could do a process of eliminating.
That's what I mean. I can tell you where a hidden fireplace is, but I'm blasting a demon out of existence when I'm in California. So
well, I guess, I mean, I guess if they can remote view a scene, you know, if this is a valid skill, and I'm not dismissing it in any way, but if they could remote view a scene and know details about the location, then probably spirits or demons or whatever have you, what may be there, would also be part of that scene. So they could probably see it.
I can watch a video image of China and can't affect the damn thing.
Yeah, but you're not psychic.
But you're going on the premise that the location has the haunting or the possession when it's probably the person. So if he talks to that person over the phone or, I don't know, through Skype or whatever, he's dealing directly with the person if that's in fact what's going on.
And
really,
you're viewing China through a TV and you could potentially physically go there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but if I watch a guy get shot in the head, I can't be like, stop!
No.
37 hours later,
I
can't get there.
In the psychic world, just being devil's advocate here, if you are remote viewing a location and you're dealing with an entity or spirit or whatever that also exists in this psychical plane, and you are in tune with this psychical plane, you could potentially exert an influence on that through this psychic plane.
I may have just solved my own problem anyway.
Well,
okay.
To expand on location. Many times we go into a location and we do any kind of spirit box communication. How do we know that if we're talking something, it's actually spirits that's there?
Right.
We're not talking to a spirit from someplace else. I mean, many times we get the name Pete come through all the time. Pete, Peter, Pete. Now it's Rich. Now it's Rich and Pete come through quite a bit.
I mean, what if we're talking to things that are dimensional? What if we're talking to things that are layered out of dimension on top of ours?
That's a good question.
Could be a whole different universe. Whole different.
Right, but it's still relative to if you stack universes on top of each other, point A is still on top of point A. Still can't affect what's at point B.
I'm just saying, like, what we'd catch. Like, you're like a ghost box or something.
Yeah, I'm not. All I'm saying is it might be a ghost in another universe, but it's not a ghost in Chen.
All I know is I'm not messing with anybody who can render me impotent over a telephone.
Impotent?
Impotent.
Yeah, impotent.
Now my girlfriend can do that. Hey,
what girlfriend?
Ah.
Oh.
What's his name?
Once again, it's getting weird.
What's his name?
Now, have you guys ever experienced anybody talking about, I don't know, for example, this happened the other day, and I brought this up to you at my house. I have an older house. Always have lots of really wacky things there. The other night, I was laying in bed, and we weren't sleeping yet. We were just, you know, kind of getting ready to sleep.
Bonk.
And, yeah.
I like
it. Really, really weird thing where... not walking just like footsteps, like floor creeping, like the wood.
Depressing?
Yes. Like three steps, enough for me to like roll over and go, like, did somebody walk in, and enough for her to literally jump over the bed and goes, who the hell is in the room?
So it was in the room with you.
Yeah, really, and we've had a lot of little things. When I bought the house years ago, where my son's room is, as he got older, he just stopped making his bed, but, when he used to make his bed, every time we'd come home, literally in the middle of the bed, there was, like, an imprint, like, right in the middle. Not that somebody got out of the side and slid in to the middle. It was just a perfect indent. And he doesn't make his bed, so I can't tell you if that happens anymore. But and then on the attic floor, my daughter has a loft, like, bedroom, and she's in college, and we always hear walking, so.
No, do you have hardwood floors, or?
Yeah, and you still hear the walking.
Is it a forced air unit in the house for, like, heat and things like that?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah. But this is clearly walking.
Okay. Because
yeah.
I've actually been in a place
where the pipes
go it's the ducts, and they're that aluminum, that foil.
Right.
And those are made to expand. And what they'll do, someone will say, like, the lady said she heard walking going down the hallway. Well, when the heat went through it, it would pop all the way down the hallway. So it sounded like walking going down the hallway.
Mm.
But it was her heat. But if you're hearing, like, footsteps,
this was alarming. Like, it was enough to, as I said, for me to realize it and for her to realize, you know, wasn't just, like, me saying it. But it just seems like recently, and I hate to say Pete was right about this about a year ago.
I was right about it.
Yeah, I goofed around with the Ouija board.
Oh.
I did it in two places. I did it here and I did it in my house.
You did it here?
And now look what we got going on.
That's,
But you know what's funny? You always said here, and
you
always
want
said...
You want this guy's website?
It always said, pay me. I had the phone thing, and that was one of the things I always said. It always said, pay me. It was always one of the things.
Really? It would say those things...
Did you ever see it? It's like a phone app.
Yeah, but yours would say, it wouldn't just
something
random weird. Whatever. It would just say, it would say, pay me, and it said more than once?
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of cool, because those things are so random with words.
When I used to have it here, it was weird. If I had it in my office, it would pick up a lot. And in the ladies' room on that black shelf forever. The ladies' room every now and here is the place to be, because that's where everything's going.
We've got a lot of stuff.
Let me tell you something. I've seen a light flash over there by one of those the lights that hang off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I saw,
light.
I could swear I saw a shadow over there. I saw a shadow in the bathroom over here. That whole section, that whole corner there, like, that's where you're kind of looking.
Jen wasn't staring at the door directly. I was at the bar. You could see the door and reflection of the bar, and I saw it move.
Yeah.
The doorway through the reflection.
Yeah, the figure, as I call it, you know. I grew up, you know, my family always took care of the Capitol Theater, and I always... all the times, even now, when I still run shows, it's funny, I always talk to Steve Jackson, who runs the dance here. if we're running his shows, I'm always in the back and he's next to me. And we'll always at the same time look to our left. The aisleway that goes up, for whatever reason, it always catches you. A shadow will always catch you there to look. It's the only place I've ever been, even there.
So that is the location of the only death in there.
Was there where really
the workman fell to his death right in front of the stage on the aisleway.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I said, nobody ever gave me the real official.
And I think
a historian, I'm going with you.
And I believe the guy had a heart attack in there, but he didn't die. He died, but didn't die in the Capitol, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Those were the only two that Jack had.
I grew up there. I mean, I always got little chills from time to time, but, you know, that's just normal. But the one story had a guy who had never been in the building before. You guys know there's the organ. There's an organ cover. It goes over the front of the stage. And I was giving him a tour. He'd never been in there. And all at once he goes, wow, that's really weird. He goes, I looked around the stage, and all at once he goes, I saw a white organ and a guy in a white suit with white hair. He goes, it was so weird. And I go, I didn't tell him about the organ. He didn't know about that. I go, I got to show you something. So we go upstairs, and there's a picture of the guy. His name's Carlton Brush. And I was a kid. I remember seeing him at white hair, white suit, playing the white mobile organ. And he goes, oh, my God, that's the thing. And he never came back to the theater after that. But, you know, I guess I just grew up in there, so, you know, it didn't bother me. But it seems like paranormal stuff recently has been kind of crazy around me. I don't know, I've been noticing it.
Nathan had a million stories about the Capitol Theater. Yeah, playing upstairs, playing Dungeons and Dragons or something like that.
Yeah.
He said that I don't know if you were one of the you all, but they all would hear all sorts of people talking and stuff.
There was one time there was a kids show. We're going back, me and Nathan, like 12, 13 years old. We were all on the stage, and all of a sudden he goes, what's that? And it looked like a snowball came from the top of the balcony, and it got to the stage and just dissolved.
Well, the balcony
ask him about that. That was the one.
Seat, right? Not a seat, but the lady or...
No, it's what's her name?
Gretchen.
Gretchen on that balcony. Mark and I were chasing something back and forth, and we kept hearing it, and it kept moving the seats. I mean, clearly you could hear it. The seats going squeak, up again, and down, and I mean, you hear it. And we were going back and forth. We never saw it, but there were some interesting sounds.
Believe it or not, when we had Zaphis there for the public event. He zoned in on Gretchen. Now, nobody's ever been able to prove the story of Gretchen, but we have the audio. He was getting responses on the spirit box from Gretchen and Steve. And that's sort of weird because that was more of an urban legend than anything that could be proven there.
Right,
but why was he picking up on that lady identifying herself as Gretchen? And then there was a weird clip that he picked up there through his... spirit box, and it literally was like it caught something and it just kept talking. And it was like, yeah, I did something. We brought the body down to Ithaca and we took care of this, and he shouldn't have saw what he's. And it's like, what the hell is that? Like, what was he intercepting on?
Did anybody ever tell you? I mean, obviously, you know, my father, he came from Italy, he was at the theater, so I mean, he was there since he was 13. When you look at the Capitol on the right hand side, there's the office there at the Remellin. Downstairs was a speakeasy. Did they ever show you that?
Is that where
they
store the props? Did they store props?
They store something down there now. But that was the, at the time, that was one of the speakeasies downtown.
Hmm.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, that was, and then Markson Brothers building, they tore it down. When they went to tear it down, they found out, was it the, I don't know if it was the upper floor or the lowest floor, had a complete ballroom for no reason. And a stage, a place for music, everything. It was all set up for that. Of course, it was built during that. So,
what was that?
I heard that.
Was it car brakes?
Yeah, what?
Sounded like a door opening.
Nothing beat the time the rather large chap came by on the little motor scooter by the window. It was like a Vespa. It's like. It took him a minute to go from the window length to the light.
I do welcome anybody during the day just to come to my office. I have the best lookout of downtown than anybody else. The things I see and hear are awesome.
I just, my buddy used to work at the Matchbox when it was on North James Street. And I used to go visit him during the afternoons, and we'd just sit at the bar and just watch the James Street traffic in the middle of like a summer afternoon. Nothing but entertainment.
Getting back to your wood floor issue, though, growing up, that's exactly what we would experience, you know, at my house. We didn't have forced air or anything like that. We had baseboard heat, but the way that the old wood floors were set, you wouldn't necessarily hear somebody walking across the floor. You would hear the floorboards depressing, creaking. That's how you knew somebody was walking around. And in the middle of the night, you would hear that, and it would make its way up the stairs and then across the hallway in front of the bedrooms into the bathroom. And you wouldn't hear, like, boop traffic on it. You would hear the floorboards depressing, and they would always go in that pattern.
I mean, it was alarming for me. I remember I was laying this way, and enough for me to literally roll all the way over
to look.
And look, and as I did, I mean, she jumped like, who, like, somebody's coming, like, and it was, so then I go, must have been the dog.
Yeah.
So now I literally get, I just heard that, by the way. Did you guys hear that?
It was something earlier I heard.
Oh, okay. And I, so now, you know, like the Poltergeist movie, but I'm under the bed looking, like, you know, the worst idea ever. You know? But then I realized the dog was downstairs.
Yeah.
It wasn't there, so there was nothing. But, you know, I don't know. And then, you know, I always hear things, you know, the more you start to realize it's active, and the more you talk about it,
the more you're open to things happening.
You know, and maybe, you know, years ago I would say no way, but, you know.
One of the most active locations we've ever investigated was a location where a woman lived by herself and she didn't even know she had anything going on. The only reason why she asked us to come is that her husband passed away and the grandkids would come over and they would tell her about dreams they had of the grandfather. Wasn't the grandfather dead already, Pete? Yeah, he was dead before they were born.
Yes.
And he would visit them in the dreams, and he would tell them things, and then the kids would tell the grandmother, and it was pretty much the same story. And then we went in there to do an investigation, because she came out to one of our events and met with us and saw the presentation. And then that was probably one of the most active things, locations we've ever done. We saw stuff, we experienced stuff, we captured stuff on film, we got some amazing EVPs. I mean, and now that she knows it's there, they talk every night. She hears them walking up down the stairs, talking, and when she gets ready to go to bed, she just says, everybody, calm down, I'm going to bed, and everything just quiets right down for the night.
Wow.
Yeah, now we've been back there twice, and we've had some good experiences, but again, she never knew anything was even going on. She lived there for years. Nothing. Never noticed a single thing.
Yeah, that's, and you know, I also have a little one. We never got to meet my grandmother. She had passed away a month before he was born. And when he first came home and he just started talking, he always kept saying, I see a white witch. I see a white witch. Which, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, not really thinking. At this time, we weren't seeing anything really in my house either. But one day he walked over to a picture of my grandmother. He goes, hi, Nonnie. And it stopped me because I had never brought the picture up and go, this, you know, I mean, I talked about it, but never connected that with him. And everyone in my family agrees, it's like almost as if he sees her all the time and he talks to her. You know, it's cool, but at the same time, got a little freaky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Even when years ago when I did the first episode with you guys when we filmed that one, going into that, I was kind of like, you know, whatever. It's kind of, it could be fun. But just lately, more and more, I mean, I just notice things I never did before.
And, you know, that brings up a good point, and we always have to discuss both sides of the table when we talk about this. When you become aware that something's going on, or when you're informed that something could potentially be going on, you always have to wonder about that power of suggestion. Could there be absolutely nothing going on, but suddenly because somebody said,
somebody put the idea in your head,
is it actually going on? Or the opposite of that is because you feel that you're aware of something going on, are you making more things happen?
Like self-reinforcing.
With EVP.
Right. Exactly. So now, similar to a hypnosis or mass hallucinations,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so you have that side of the perspective. Yeah, the other side of the perspective says, as Rich just illustrated with the female, that she tells the spirits, I'm going to bed, please stop. And she exerts her control over her environment, which has an effect on whatever could potentially be there. And we always tell people, as do all of these TV shows and every other group out there, that the best way for you to manage the situation is for you to actively manage the situation and say, this is my place, you people can't be doing this, or set the ground rules.
You people?
While I'm away during the day and nobody's home, feel free, have a party, do whatever you want, but as soon as people get home, you need to respect the fact that we live here now and these are our...
They're like unruly children.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think Dave brings up a good point. I think that's true when, I think if you have a home and it's just general spirits, and what I mean by that is just kind of, you know, random spirits or spirits that are just there for some reason, unbeknownst.
For their own reason.
However, there are situations, and we're dealing with a case now in Rome, where we believe there's something in the house, and we've asked the homeowner to exert that authority. And now that person, the homeowner, is getting bruised, and some other stuff is, you know, she says the dog got flung off her bed. You know, we don't know that, obviously, but essentially, she's exerted it. Now this spirit seems to retaliate, or, you know, I don't know if it's retaliation or it's some kind of prankster or whatever, but in some situations, it doesn't work. Sometimes it actually makes the situation worse.
So she's pushing one way, and the spirits are pushing back.
Well, and we tell
her. Fight.
Does she
feel
like the bruising, or does she just wake up and see that?
She said she woke up and saw it. Because, I mean, essentially, I saw the bruise in her arm, and I kind of poked it with my finger, and I said, does that hurt? And she's like, no. But it was a bruise. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been bruised plenty of times. And
right,
you touch my bruise, like, damn.
Right, yeah.
I'll smack you. But, you know, I mean, there were small bruises. One in the inner thigh and one in her arm. So
we investigate everything.
Right. But sometimes that authority needs to be handled in a very gingerly process. It's almost like having an employee. You want to exert some authority over it, but you want to do it nicely. So they don't flip out and come back with a shotgun. And,
right.
You know. So, and sometimes it's persistence. You can't just say it once and expect everything to just stop.
Right.
But again, here's a situation with the lady I talked about before, the older woman. I mean, she lived there, she heard nothing. Not a single thing. That night, a handprint appeared on Pete's back. We saw the thermal image camera. He got goosed. We caught that on film. We saw a little boy walk down the hallway. She got pushed. We caught that on film. We did a spirit box session where we had the homeowner ask three questions and we had the exact three answers for her that came through based on information we had no knowledge of. So it was probably one of those wild cases I've ever been involved in. So, again, if it's kid spirits or whatever, you know, I mean, that motherly authority, you know, stop, go to bed,
right.
You know, just quiet down, you know? So.
That's interesting. I'd like to see it. I want to come in here one night and just kind of do that. As I said, I really do hear it at night here. It's kind of crazy. I mean, if you guys ever want to lay out something at night here, let me know.
Yeah, we've been wanting to actually,
yeah,
you know, do that.
I'd love to. It's intriguing. I think there's a lot of history here, and, you know, besides what this building's been since 1954, what used to be here. You're in some pretty places of Larry here.
I'll stay all night, Bill.
Well,
I'll stay here all night.
We can set up some infrared cameras in VBR.
Yeah. Cameras.
You know, we have 16 of them.
Right.
We have a couple different spirit boxes.
Not to mention there was...
A lot of handheld equipment. We'd love to try it out here.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool or crazy to do, so... Yeah, just let me know.
It's that weird, though.
No. We're investigators, so we're always looking for places to investigate.
It's yeah.
Very
I think it's interesting that a lot of...
Do you guys do this physically, or do you do it through the iPad?
Pictures.
No, we actually show up. There are apps. Dave and I was talking about this a few weeks ago. There is a group that he mentioned to be... you don't have to tell me who it is, but they do their home investigation based on like apps on like iPad and cell phones.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to know how that works. And the only reason I wonder how accurate it is because we have sound apps for like our sound systems. For, you know, for people who are listening, I also own a sound lighting company. And the that's entertainment services.
Yeah, expertly engineered.
But I mean, if it's picking up, I mean, I can tell you if I'm getting feedback, I can pick up the exact frequency and how much to drop it. If that's picking that up, I mean, it's a little weird to think about. I mean,
if a company that had the expertise in engineering technology to develop some of those high-end sound apps would develop a ghost hunting app, then I would take it a little bit more seriously.
Right.
But some of them, you look at it, it's like Ghost Finder. Really?
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at the little screen, you see little things moving around.
The little radar blip.
Here they come, you know, it's
the
like...
The Pac-Man ghost sign.
Kind of hokey. But, I mean, I think that the group that Dave was referring to probably have some less hokey apps. There's some actually...
Right.
Some probably doable apps.
There's paid apps. And, you know, it comes down to the fact that the phone is just a massive computer, and the amount of sensors that are packed into a phone is just staggering, above and beyond what you can do,
right.
You know, just through the regular interface. If you download an app like Android Sensor or Andro Sensor, there's like 30 sensors on these things that, you know, most people would never see. The problem is, because it's a cellular phone, it gives off its own radiation, which is self-interfering with a lot of the sensors. So just using something like Andro Sensor, walking through an environment, you're picking up temperature, relative humidity, you're picking up altitude, you're picking up the magnetometer, the compass heading, you're picking up the EMF, you're picking up all this stuff.
Right.
But because it's giving off its own signal, you know, you don't know what's going on. It could potentially be picking its own interference, picking up its own interference. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff with the newer phones, the newer generation, like within the last year or so, where it's all isolated from the phone portion of it, the radio portion. So, you know, one never knows. I liked...
I'm sorry.
I like to walk through a place with Andro Sensor going and just walk around, because this thing, you know, can do a lot of what the regular standalone utilities that we have can do.
I wonder how accurate they are.
Right, that's what you have to...
Into that size unit, you know what I mean?
Well, there's some actual industrial equipment, like real expensive industrial equipment, by Fluke and by a lot of these other companies, that, you know, it's just a little thicker than a cell phone, but it costs $3,500, and it's packed with a lot of the similar sensors. And in fact, Bill could probably attest, there's the ones that allow you to sonic, you know, you set it up in a theater and you can tell which side the speaker, you know, you stand in the middle, and the devices aren't huge, but... You know,
it's literally this big, the box for
yeah.
them. And that can take a whole room and EQ it
really?
In seconds.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, kind of an idea of just the power of the sensors, there's actually several programs out there available that, or not available, but that are in motion where they're basically turning just a smartphone into a satellite, and they're going to release pocket
yeah.
satellites
yeah.
in space to monitor various things.
They've got drones.
Yeah.
Before the drones
yeah.
were being seen over... Griffiths, back in 1999, I was working on a project with Northrop Grumman, taking an amplifier circuit that was this big, and we miniaturized it into a circuit that was about 100 mil square, and they had 8 layers, and all the diodes, the inductors, capacitors are all layered into the ceramic, and it was a hermetically sealed chip, and that was one of the brains for these drones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was interesting to see the technology. I mean, we were making capacitors 50 mil square. I mean, these things where we had like a little, it looked like maybe a little Tylenol capsule. You open up and there would be 1,000 capacitors.
Yeah, now that's huge compared to the
water
capacitor.
It's sort of out. You know, we were doing the sorting by hand under a microscope with, you know, $10 an hour employees.
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes to show you. And it was gold plated. It was very, very thin, maybe like micron, 2 micron thick, you know, ceramic. So, I mean, I can definitely see how things were miniaturized and how the circuitry is in this. However, that we were talking about, let's see, the order they placed for the prototype was like $100,000.
Yeah.
even if they put those in production, there's no way they get them down to the price of this.
That's why I'm very skeptical of groups that only use...
I know the technology is amazing in this.
But I wouldn't base an entire paranormal investigation on a team solely relying on... on these. I mean, if you're going to use your phone as an audio recorder, I mean, if you have an iPhone, that's a really, really good...
I use this as an audio recorder.
Right, so that's all right. But to really detect EMF and subtle temperature fluctuations, and you know, it's just, it's not built for that. It's not...
I agree with you 100%. And that's why I think that the technology is amazing, but however, I mean, how accurate it is and sensitive is it when they're trying to put it in a consumer product that, yes, it's highly advanced. I get it. However... some of that stuff, you know. But then again, some of this ghost hunting equipment you buy. I mean,
right.
How, you know, the fringe stuff, like the ovulus and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
How accurate is that?
What is an ovulus?
The ovulus? It's a box that talks. Depending on the... depending on the EMF fluctuations of the environment, the ghost is supposedly be able to manipulate the circuitry or the dictionary inside there and spit out a different word
based on...
That would be amazing that a ghost would have that level of technical expertise.
And that's one of the biggest criticisms of it. I bought one. Rich has one. I returned mine. It kept saying the same words over and over and over in a cycle. And,
yeah, I bought it basically with the premise that
we're going to test it.
I was going to try it.
Yep.
I mean, I had no faith in, like, oh my God, I'm going to finally talk to a ghost. I mean, these words. You know, but again, if you're serious about investigating the paranormal, then you have to
try
this fringe stuff, and you got to try it.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, guess what? You know, it's like Thomas Edison with a light bulb, whatever one you invented there. You failed 99 times. And somebody asks him,
the flux
like capacity. A failure, you failed 99 times? He goes, no, because I've done 9,900 ways not, that it doesn't work. And that's pretty much, you know, we'll get to the point where if the ovulus, you know, proves itself to be effective, comes up with one little piece of evidence.
Then it's good.
Then it's good.
Yep.
If it's not, then you know what? Then I won't have to buy the $600 bottle ovulus, because
right.
It's probably the same as the $300 bottle ovulus, but now it's just got a texture.
Yeah.
You know?
Plus the ovulus looks great for just entertaining
the
crowds.
The way
yes.
Integration. Integration is the way, because cell phones are really the big leader in integration. These devices now, like that new spare box I bought, it's got
does
a
everything in one.
Flashlight.
Yep.
It's got temperature equipment built into it, so it's got a sensor and everything. Pretty much will got a typewriter built into it, and if you want to go Google on it, you can do that as well.
Got a martini bar.
That's the newest thing. They're trying to combine everything into one unit.
Swiss Army.
I guess it's handy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is that you wonder if some of those components they put in are very, very cheap.
Yeah.
And like it's credit.
I mean,
just to put it in.
You got to remember that old adage: if you can do one thing well, then just stick with doing the one thing well. Don't do 10 things. You know.
Fast.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades,
say,
master of none.
Yeah.
It's better to do one thing full ass than two things half ass.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Just Watson, thank you.
But there's a lot of people buying this stuff because that means they don't have to buy 10 different things for $1,000. They just buy one for $400. And
right. So. Well, it's got merit. It really
yes.
Does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Gentlemen, before we're out of time, we have a breaking topic here. We should close on this.
No, don't even.
Ugh. Everybody out there, if you have that Google program, the images you want to type standing wake. Standing is standing up. Wake is in funeral.
That's a dead game.
The pictures of these gangbangers that are standing up, mummified or whatever they've done to them and blammed them. It's just...
shellacked him. Doesn't know what they're doing to porch.
I can't open it one. Is he the Green Lantern?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's an old boxer. There's actually a technique now for doing wakes while the person is standing up. They're not laying in a coffin. They're actually propped up in a position...
They stole my idea.
The one on the motorcycle?
No.
You guys make sure Candy does that when she kills me.
I wonder if he stood up in a glass coffin... in a room with a fog machine, a whole bunch of like flashing lights,
sweet.
And Oingo Boingo's dead man's.
I think that's what is inside of Lennon's.
Okay,
doing.
So that guy was a
dead man's party,
and they did a standing like on him.
Yeah.
Okay, it's better. There's pictures of people posing around him.
People are posing around him like he's gonna autograph something for him. They're like, that's serious. They're like this. Like next
that's
to him pointing.
Well,
and
Pete, they used to do that years ago when children would die.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's
very.
Or in the Old West, they used to prop him up in the funeral window, and
they would paint him, but they would paint him like they're alive. They would paint him
eyes open.
Their eyes open,
yeah.
So it looks like a dead baby, but the eyes are like
Yeah.
There are the creepiest things I've
ever seen. I saw some of those just on, you know, some different websites. They had like a, you know, like 24, the creepiest. And you know, I can understand they did the one by themselves, but like the ones where you see like the other kids, they force the other kids to do a family photo.
Terrifying.
And they're all like, and you can see the other kids are all, because to them it's like it's their dead brothers. Which, you know, at the same time I feel sympathy, but at the same time it's kind of creepy. You know?
Yeah.
So,
my grandmother took a picture of her.
That's
On that note, we have to close. It's a man with movies. Well, we enjoy the full house tonight.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for having us.
Thank you. We hope that you all.
Wait, I'm a regular. What am I doing?
And please, you write your congressman.
Thank you for joining us,
DePaulo. Wait, he's telling you about Congress.
I know, Mike. What the hell?
DePaulo.
It's DePaulo.
That's right.
It's no DePaulo's. It's DePaulo. Don't forget to mention this.
Two totally different places.
Dave just cut my microphone.
Roger, Congressman, NASA needs funding. We need to go into space.
Yes.
Europa, here we come. Holy shit. Free snow cones in the first 10 minutes.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.